to the Fantasy Wargaming Podcast. We're your hosts,
Tony
and Paul. And we're joined this evening by two great guys. We got Tanker. Say hello.
Hey, all.
And we got Mr. Ed Murdoch. How you keeping, mate? You well?
Yeah, not too bad.
Welcome back, guys. Right, so this show, we're going to focus on the actual weaknesses of the Dark Gods book. So, first of all, are there any?
I'd like to jump in here because I feel it's my specialist subject for my years playing Warriors. There was nothing worse than setting up your army and there being a unit better than you in combat opposite. And you're left just staring at it going, what do I do here? I'll fall back upon my, he's got more chaff and more shooting. So, you know, maybe if it was like a KOE list or something where they outrange you and they can just punch through and then, there you go. That's the weakness. Well, thanks everyone for popping on. That's the show. But yeah, that's the matchup I used to hate. I think, Tanker, you're better at that point in retaining your costs. But yeah. I'd always come up with some janky plan where I'd offer them an obvious target in the hope of drawing them in, and then they'd just not fall for it as I back up my unit of warriors towards the enemy.
So to build on Tony's point, and I do agree with it somewhat, one of the things that is quite evident with the book once you've played it a while is that if there is a better combat unit, you are going to struggle. And then that's built upon the fact by they don't really have defensive buffs. A lot of the buffs available to the army are reroll to hit, reroll to wound, plus one to hit from Evo, example. You've got Word of Iron, which isn't actually overly useful on some units, because obviously some stuff doesn't have armor to start with. Some stuff.
Or you've already got a one-up. So.
Or you've already got really good armor, so it's pointless in that case. So you really do struggle against a lot of AP as well, which obviously there are no rending banners anymore, but there are still a lot of AP in the game. So they can really struggle in that aspect. They struggle as well just based on that, yeah. And then you've obviously got Word of Iron and you've got the 5-foot ward save spell. Yeah, they're your big two. And obviously that's across two different lores. You do struggle for points sometimes in the character section if you want to bring a lord or two, or you want to bring an ancestor, as we've discussed on the other episode. So actually fitting in a master and an adept is a struggle. And double adept isn't always great for warriors, because you end up in a situation a lot of the time with too many buffs and not actually any damage output for the price you've spent.
Yeah, I feel like when you get to that tipping point, where certain units just tip over. So Myrmidons on the charge. These are things that I've played against warriors. Myrmidons on the charge into warrior blocks, or Ogre Murkvets. Obviously, those are elite units in their setting. Demons tend to bring a lot of magic buffs. Ogre Murkvets tend to pack in just a huge amount of damage output plus impact hits, etc. Myrmidons also have the advantage of going first, but if there is that tipping point where a unit is more elite, either they're hitting first or they're hitting simultaneous and then they get to bring a large amount of damage output, then I think warriors start to struggle, because as Tanka said, you don't have that defensive setup. You're not able to necessarily counter a stronger elite unit particularly easily. So there is a danger that potentially people rely too much on they're going to have the better stats, but they're not able to flee out of a bad matchup. So they are potentially getting pinned into bad situations.
Yeah. To build on that, I think there's also the, even if you have a better unit at the start of the game, because you don't have a lot of magic output depending on what build you're running and you don't have shooting, your elite unit that beats their elite unit might not beat it by the time it gets there. So that is obviously the double-edged sword of being an aggressive army. You've got to go forwards if you want to get big points.
Yeah, I think you've highlighted there the fact that they've just distinctly got no shooting phase. I think that is huge, because I think the lack of range game means a big part of the game is dictating combats, and a big part of that is dealing with your opponent's light units, chaff, etc., early game, so that you can dictate those combats. Mm-hmm. And warriors can have a bit of a hard time dealing with an opponent's chaff. Thus, like I mentioned last year, having pyro would solve that. But there's a good reason you don't have it in the list. It is definitely a weakness of the book.
Yeah, your desperation towards Vale Walker to dig you out of every every chaff situation.
Yeah, I think also, depending on how you build the list, it can make the list, which is obviously good as well as bad, but it can make the list very rock, paper, scissors. If you go down the heavy armor route with warrior knights, for example, or chosen knights, and you play a lot of anti-armor, you're in trouble. If you go down the wretched one list and you end up playing a lot of decent shooting and pyro, you can also be in trouble that way. So although the list can obviously run over people because it can tailor to a specific strength, it can be very RPS as well.
Yeah, I think the wretched one build, for example, gives you a massive strength in that it becomes very difficult, if not impossible, to play chaff around that, because you can't deploy your chaff close enough, because then they might be hit by the wretched ones, and then the wretched ones are springboarding into your lines. And wretched ones sort of play the game differently, and they eliminate that chaff worry to a large extent, but then they make, as Tanka says, they make a new problem, because the matchups that you would have been confident in before, suddenly you aren't confident in. So yeah, that rock, paper, scissors element. I mean, I've felt the horrible feeling of trying to play an army that relies on chaff against wretched ones. But yeah, sometimes you're on the other end of that balance.
But kind of focusing on the weaknesses that I discovered with the warriors, we kind of highlighted it earlier, is the fact that a lot of the army just cannot flee. If it's in the wrong place, like wretched ones, for example, are great, apart from when you flank them and you've got a lot of damage output, and then you've got two wretched ones fighting back. Their discipline is so low, they just generally don't turn around, and then they just get ground out. I found the same thing with the warriors, actually. If they got hit, which is why I started taking lust a lot more. I initially started using envy and wrath because I liked the idea of the extra damage output. But I ended up playing lust just because I got myself into situations where I was like, oh, if only I could flee from this situation. I've done all this damage and now I'm in the middle of something and I've got two guys left and I really don't want to fight another round of combat. I just need to get out of dodge and save my points. And warriors just generally can't do that. They get themselves stuck.
I've often found as well warriors that strength 6, toughness 6 monsters can be a bit of a problem as well, because Thunderstomp obviously kills lots of warriors in that instance. There's not much above strength 5 in the book, especially if it gets charged. I know Chosen Knights are lots of strength 5, but, well, Chosen Knights are a low number, I suppose, of strength 5 attacks, but it's high quality. So if you're not got that reroll to hit or wound, you're struggling with toughness 6 is what I found with the list in general.
Yeah, the courtesan, for example, into a warrior's unit poses a very unique question, because with a minor buff, you're hitting her on 6s and you're limited your outputs. Meanwhile, she just kind of kicks through a ton of warriors. So it is a reliance upon certain strengths that don't always win the day.
Yeah. I find the warriors also struggle with scourges enormously unless you have the tools to deal with it at range.
Hellfire, what's your problem? Say that flippantly. The two times I've played against scourges, both times I've boxcars Hellfire with rerolls to wound. It was bye-bye, Scourge.
Yeah, Phil Walker. Phil Walker Wizard is on occultism is definitely your best answer. I say, as someone who has lost two greater demons in two turns to that exact unit at the WTC.
Oof.
So is there anything, Tanker, that you dread seeing on the table against you? Be it a unit, a character, or, you know, you have quite a...
I think you can actually go for armies with warriors. They do not play elves well, is my experience, overly. And that it obviously depends on what type of builds you're running, but most of the elves shoot well. They fight better than you, especially when they're charging. And they, even some of the books have enough bodies, like the 40 man or large spear units in Dread Elves or High Elves can be problematic, especially being as their buff phases are often really good against warriors for buffing those units. So yeah, any of the elves always cause a problem. High elves, can cause a problem, less combat-wise, but more you're going to lose a lot of bodies on the way in, and whatever combat unit they have or Phoenixes will often mop up what's left.
Do you struggle with KOE? Being another combat army, but with a little bit more range?
You can do. It depends. I think if you have Wretched Ones or Alchemy, it helps massively against KOE.
True, yeah.
One or the other, I think, helps massively.
I mean, I'm biased because the list I used to run was, you know, an Ancestor, some big stuff and some big blocks, and I had no Alchemy or Forsaken Ones. Wretched Ones. Really, really felt it.
It is worth noting that Warriors can struggle with a chaff game, but they probably do have the best chaff in the game. But they just obviously never get taken because of points. Flayers are amazing.
Movement 10, isn't it?
Yeah. I always take a unit of 5.
Always. It's just a shame that they've got, out of all the armies that can take hounds, they have the worst hounds. If Warriors could get the Beast Herd hounds or even the Vanguard hounds from VC, I think they'd be instantly better just from that.
I think that would probably push them a little bit too much, but
yeah.
I don't hate the Warrior Hounds. I feel like you running them in 8s to take them out of core has always been an interesting option, and when a player plays them well, which I know you do, they add quite a unique dimension, being able to chuck them forward 22 inches.
Yeah.
I mean, you say about the Flayers as well, but then, you know, you used to see, and I haven't seen it so much recently, but you used to see, is it Chimeras or Chimera? I always say Chimera, yeah.
Yeah,
Chimera. But I've been corrected before. They're wrong. And I always think, but it sounds wrong. Just sounds wrong. But the Chimera, you know, you've got March 20, and yeah, it's, you know, only 4 hit points, isn't it? And offensive 4.
I think they're one of the units that you always... I put one in my list a lot, and then
that's where you start.
I'm 100 points over, and I'm like, it needs to come out. I think the Chimera's fine as it is if it had Stomp D3. I think that would be the easiest fix for that model.
Is it 100 by 50 by 100 base?
Yeah.
It's just March 20, isn't it? You know, but
still look at the points and think, what's it going to do? And then you look at the Flayers and you think, movement 20, light troops. Just you can't see past Flayers as far as I'm concerned.
What's the point difference between 5 Flayers and a Chimera?
Chimera's 200 points, isn't it? And Flayers, yeah,
they 150, 140, something like that.
145.
Okay, so probably not quite enough. The Res 5 isn't quite enough to bring it when it doesn't have the armor. So
the Res 5, well, it's 4 up armor.
Is it 4 up armor on the Chimera?
Yeah. For him, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not bad. The Res 5 does make it a lot more survivable.
It's not a bad model. I don't think it's terrible. I just think Stomp D3 would be enough to see it on the table.
I mean, really, you're talking about a chaff unit that you also hunt their chaff with.
Yeah,
I think, and you accept you're going to lose it.
It's not quite reliable enough to do that, in my opinion, for hunting chaff is the one worry, because you go in, you only do our wounds sometimes, and you, with any the offensive 4 as well, you go in and you do our wound, and you've only won by 2, and they've held, and it can get messy.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of highlighted something there, because like you've mentioned before, you can have a really nice choppy, Vampire Lord. It's the same principle. You got a really high point character with his 5 attacks, which he then spanners. I don't know how many times it's happened to you guys, but the amount of times I've gone in thinking this guy should do 4, maybe 5 kills, just blow straight through.
That's it. You hit once and then you roll a 1 to wound.
I'm going to step outside
for a minute.
It's still the biggest weakness of the Burning Blade Lord. As we discussed on the last episode, he is really good again, especially with the Aegis. Mm. But a second he runs into parry, he's the most frustrating model in the game.
That's it. You really rely on rerolls to hit, which your opponent stops. And then you're like, oh, this is going to...
It's why I think Rod of Battle in most warrior armies has a place if you can find the points for it instantly.
Again, I have it in my VC book, exactly the same thing. You rely on rerolls to hit or what a battle to at least try and mitigate the fact you've spent all these points on a single character. You need that character to be doing some damage output. And I do find that with the Warriors book sometimes. You do have high damage output per model, but I find that the Warriors book has fewer models than other books. So if you have a round where you just whiff, it's so frustrating. You think, I've invested all these points in this killer unit and it can't even kill a zombie. It's highly annoying.
Yeah.
Zombies are a bad example. They don't have parry. Goblins. Goblins was the one that really peeved me off with my Warrior Knights. Running into a unit of goblins with a unit of four chosen knights and hitting once really peed me off.
I think it probably parry. Should pee you off, to be honest.
I hate parry. Parry's a pain in the ass in the game. I want a chosen knight on his big mount and you hit one goblin. I mean, come on.
I think the goblin player probably planned that parry would just piss you off and make the rest of your game terrible.
I think, as we did with the strengths, I guess, has anyone got a unit they would like to be a bit better or a weak unit in the book?
I used to run Chosen Lord on a Chimera mount. And, you know, it's quick and people are scared of him. But the problem I always had is that quite often he didn't perform. Same what we're talking about there. I never gave him the burn important because he's off and out and doing things. But he was always great at kind of turning a flank and they'd change what they did. But the problem is I was always worried to throw him in because he just fumbled all the time. Like I say, strength 5 should be good, but it's not strength 6. That makes sense. It was never quite. It's not the Hippo Lord from KOE or something like that. Or the Highborn Elf Spear Lord, who just seems to consistently tear everything apart. He was always a bit of a gamble when you pick up those dice in the second or third round of combat that you are only an inch away from spannering it and running away with a 500-point character.
I think you've both kind of highlighted my one, which is the Chimera. Just the bog standard one. I think where we played in eighth edition fantasy, Chimeras were awesome. They flew, they had breath weapons every gen. They basically did it all. And then obviously ninth age quite understandably balanced it, but also the unit became different. It wasn't designed to do what it used to do. It was a completely different thing in the book. But I always find, like you mentioned earlier, Tanker, I would really love to take one, but it's one of the first things that always gets dropped because it's just slightly too expensive for what it does. And whenever I've played against Warriors and if I see a Chimera opposite me, doesn't instill me with dread. I look at it and think, meh, easy points. Pick that up. Do you know what I mean? There's things on the table, you think, Chosen Knights, etc. They're going to be a problem. Chimera, not so much.
Is there a place for the Sky Wheel in the army? I mean, have you ever seen a list where...
You sometimes see the Occultism Master on it because he doesn't need to have line of sight. But
to hide behind hills.
Hide behind units. But in my opinion, it's not great, no.
I mean, you could kind of do that with a Shadow Chaser for less points. And...
Yeah, it's not far off it, is it? So it's I don't think it's in a great spot. Ed, you go, and then I'm going to cheat to the end. So,
I don't know whether this is true because I don't play Warriors. I occasionally play them online, but not much. But I have heard a lot of people saying that they want to like the Wasteland Behemoth, and that it just doesn't add enough. I always thought it was quite interesting, especially with the option to bring March 20 on it. But having not played it, I'm interested to know whether you guys think it is
I've played it a couple of times. It needs either offensive or defensive weapon skill buff. I don't know. You can either do it two ways. You could go defensive to give it not being hit as much, or offensive. Three on both on a big monster that's that many points is tough, is my feeling. And the few times I've used it, just felt a bit let down when you run into low weapon skill stuff and it's still hitting you on four. You're still hitting it on fours, or it's hitting you on threes even for its weapon skill four. that's my biggest take of it.
I must say, actually, I know I've had my go, but I just another little thing that I always edit, and it's quite amusing. I my whole Warrior Orc list was built around those Gore Grunters that you can get from Age of Sigmar in the box, where you've got a decent mounted, but decent beefy orc on top of a massive, great big pig. And the pigs, I loved painting them. And I thought, oh, these guys would be amazing. And you could just imagine them flying into combat, dishing out damage, smashing things up. And then you look at their stat profile. And you think, two attacks? Who wrote that? That's complete crap. Why
oh, what's like saber? Are you on about the Carcadons?
Yeah, the Carcadon mount.
Yeah.
Is the most underwhelming mount for a chosen knight to ride ever. To the strength, such a point. Strength
5, though, champ on the charge, isn't it?
I didn't bother rolling the attacks sometimes because I forgot because they're that underwhelming.
Strength
anyway,
5
ran over. They
strength
can't have better mounts. They're too good.
Yeah,
strength well, 5 is, all the time, Ed. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the thing is that I know why the decision was made. I'm not a designer, so and I never claimed to be. So I know the design was made so that the mount didn't overshadow the rider. Whereas in something like, Tusker Cav for Ogres, for example, the mount can be more effective than the rider.
Hmm. Just a bit of feedback, really. Anyway, Tanker, sorry, mate. Go on.
I'm gonna cheat and name a few, so it's fine.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Anything with the word barbarian in it is a bit underwhelming.
Hang on, barbarian chief.
You only ever see one as a cowboy. You never see armies, but I know there is obviously Asklanders. But you don't see armies built around barbarians. And I know it's a Warriors of the Dark God army, and I know it goes a little bit against the fluff. But as a more historical player, you could see more barbarians. So I'll go for that. Barbarian horse, great, but you only ever see one unit as a bunker for a mounted mage normally, or a mounted character. So I think they're not bad units, they just need a little bit of love. Barbarians just don't work on 25 more bases, unfortunately, with that stat line. And I think most people will go for that as well. And then the other things are a bit underwhelming. And I still think they're good units, but compared to other armies, which I know you're not meant to do, they look a bit sad. The Warrior Chariots. So I took 4 Warrior Chariots to an ETC a few years ago and loved them. And since then, they've basically stayed the same. Gone up a little bit in points, stayed the same stat line, but they've just been overshadowed by other chariots and other armies. It's the problem. And because other chariots are good and there's a bit more shooting in the game and a bit more magic at times, they suffer because of that, because they're not tanky enough to take.
Oh, that's interesting. I found the Warrior Chariot. I had 2 in one of my lists because I just thought, well, at the time they were, like you said, they were pointed, but I was playing them back just after COVID. But yeah, I actually found them really useful. It was just there were other things in the book that did things better for their points.
Yeah.
But I found them res 5, 3 up save, 4 wounds, decent damage output. I thought they were pretty reasonable, actually. Movement 8 as well. D6 plus 1 impact is. I don't know. I don't know.
I think you're in a weird spot where they don't support the army as well as you would like them to, because they're either a bit too slow for some of the fast stuff,
or
they're probably not quite resilient enough. If you're relying on them and warriors, they're not resilient enough to take a lot of shooting damage from some armies.
Oh, I'm going to say it, Tanky. You just need to play better, mate.
I was going to say, you used to vock the barbarian chiefs on chariots, didn't you? I think you ran over me with like 3 cheap ones. Is it that they got pointed out?
3 barb chariot heroes and 4 chariots was the list sent at 3TC, and it was so much fun.
Mm.
But then,
and then they fixed it, Tanker. Outrageous.
They're still very similar points to what they were. It's just they're overshadowed a bit by other chariots. I'm looking at.
I think that is it. There are other chariots.
I'm looking at Dark Elf chariots especially, but...
Oh, they are just broken. I mean, hunting chariots, taking away your swift stride. I mean, what is going on there? I'm still bitter about that.
Both those chariots are too good. And then the last one, and it's just because I want to see more of them. I actually think it's probably not a bad choice at all. It's the giant. I actually think as giants go, it's probably the best or the second best out of all the armies. I think it's similar level, especially with the war spear, to the ogre giant with the great weapon. I think it's as good as. and having built-in panic and break checks, you can play wide with them, but they just get overshadowed by other things in the book. They don't do what warriors do well in being hitty and resilient, because they just fall over too easy.
I kept trying to make the war spear giant in the unit of barbarian great weapons work. And you start out thinking, well, it's a cheap unit with a, you know, fairly cheap monster giving you, you know, the best of both. But it works out the other way, that you end up throwing more and more points in to make it work. And you think, oh, I'll just have a unit of warriors, they'll do it better.
I think they're actually not bad still, but they just don't suit the army. The thingy giant, what's it called? The favored giant. I would like to use one of those. Haven't had a chance to go to a tournament one yet. I think they're not bad at all.
The one in the giant.
Yeah.
Paired
weapons, free up save, and he gets something else as well. So I think that one might actually be, and it's only about 350. So I think that one might actually be an interesting choice.
Back to the high resilience and decent armor save, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I've never never taken the Wizard Apprentice. You know, Monstrous Familiar.
I've taken it a couple of times. The Breath of Corruption on it is actually quite interesting, especially if you are going for that damage outputty caster from either Alchemy or Occultism. Because obviously Breath of Corruption is the one spell that doesn't actually get any boost from Vowwalker. So you can actually then go for other damage spells. It opens up 5-up ward save, it opens up Hellfire, not Hellfire, sorry, the Mark for Doom as well. So I think it pairs quite well with Occultism Master. But then you've spent a lot of points on hitty damage spells, and you've probably only just bought Rod of Battle as a buff and 5-up ward as a defensive buff.
Yeah.
So to start bringing the show to a close then, so when you're playing against the Warriors army, what's the most effective way to beat them?
For me, it's always been a struggle playing an army that puts out a decent amount of damage on a small frontage and you can't get to it very easily. Any army that can castle quite well can be a real problem for warriors if they can't break that castle. A lot of the elves do it really well as well because they still have decent shooting while doing it. Some of the dwarf builds, some of the empire builds can be really annoying for them. Obviously, it depends on what type of warrior list you bring in, but that type of list really can be a tough nut to crack for warriors.
Mm.
And then on the flip side, anything that's decent agility that hits hard as well.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest things to abuse the hell out of is get them in the wrong place. Use your chaff, use a unit, flee a unit that they're not expecting, or get them stuck somewhere where they physically cannot flee out of the way. And like you say, just combo charge them, get them into a position where they cannot physically, because they can't voluntarily flee out of the way. I think that is, whilst it's one of their strongest attributes in that they ignore panic and that kind of thing, I do think it is one of their biggest Achilles heels.
It's a bit more niche, but when it comes up, it actually makes a big difference. Not having access to normal rerolls can actually be quite a big weakness for the army.
Mm.
So against a couple of the builds where the Silent Mist banner for SC can be really annoying because not marching, not being able, failing a march test, not being able to march very well, not being able to swift reform from it then. Stuff like the Ogre Giant with the march test bubble, they're very aggravating in some matchups, not having that reroll for march tests. It's cost me at least a couple of objectives at ETC that I can remember from failing March tests.
All right, guys. Well, that's been really interesting, actually. It's been good to have a chat with you guys because, really appreciate the insight that you've given to us all. And hopefully people will take this on board and they've enjoyed the chat and the pod. Next one's all about the fluff. So catch you later.
Cheers, everyone.
Thanks very much.